You know, it's the week, the like 2 weeks leading up to Christmas, I think are the most boring.
Probably, because you're like, you're just like in anticipation.
And you have like all these holiday parties to go to, but that aren't really that fun.
No. I went to two back to back on Wednesday, like 2 days ago. And the first one was like this decadent party, and it was like they had spared no expense. They had like taken the Red Eye Grill and booked it for the evening. And then,
did they do like a credit score before you showed up?
Right.
Absolutely. I had to fake my way in. And they like, it was a beautiful platter, beautiful spread, and everything was free. And then afterwards I went to another one, and it was, they hadn't even booked a room in this bar. They just said, hey, we're going to this bar. So it was, yeah, it went just like, it really like took a turn for me that evening.
I feel like Christmas parties outside of New York are a lot better because you don't have to like
have to get
put
out
on
your
a snowsuit,
right?
Yeah,
and you can just like show up in your car and you're like, oh hey everybody,
right? And you're like,
guys,
looking
dapper. I brought pigs in a blanket. We're gonna have a good time, and then when you're done, you're done.
Yeah, nobody's bringing pigs in a blanket. Everybody's bringing
cookies
chips
from Duane Reade.
Yeah, right. Where's the nearest? You get off the subway. Where's the nearest Duane Reade so I can pick up a cookie?
I will buy $1 bag of pork rinds.
Right, and all that, and that like thing of that wine case that's there. That's like $9 or
yes,
something.
Yes,
you pick up one of those
at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. And they're always like different colors, like orange and red. And
if you think ahead, you go to Trader Joe's, you pick up the $2 chuck, and you just buy like 12 of them for all of the holiday parties.
And then you pour it into a different bottle so nobody knows the difference.
Right?
There are so many things to remember when you study the fruit of the vine. And I am a hell of a student, and that's why I drink so much wine. Oh, I do beg your pardon. Remember these things, you obnoxious young nippers, and you will do well all your life. So cheer, be dear, and here's to life.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, moms. Hi, friends. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. All of the holidays. We are so happy that you are listening to our episode.
I hope you're listening to it on one of the high holy days.
Yep.
Be it.
That you have it in the background while opening your present.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I want that. Okay, we're going to have a little Jingle Bells. We're going to have a little...
The Amy Grant Christmas album.
Amy Grant Christmas album.
Mannheim Steamroller.
And then
Tannins and
Tunes.
That's how it should go.
That's how it should
year.
Go. All right, we should be a Christmas tradition from now on.
Jimmy, how was your week?
It was wonderful. You know what? I just saw two people that looked dead on like college Harry Potter and college Ron Weasley.
Yes.
I passed by them just now, and I didn't even understand. And then I was like, there's just like this hipster little, you know, college Harry Potter with the glasses, and then his like skinny best friend with red hair. And I paused for a second. I freaked out, and I saw them go into City College to
which kind of looks like Hogwarts.
That's what I've been saying. That confirms my theory that City College is Hogwarts.
Yes, it is. And now we know for sure.
How was yours?
It was great. You know, I am just getting all those presents together for everybody.
Oh my goodness, I still haven't started that.
Well, here's the deal, is that this year I actually have had a steady job for the first time in a really long time. So I actually made some money.
There you go.
Which is great. And I can actually buy people things that are over $5.
Right.
Which has been super exciting. I think everyone in my family is happy to not get something from Bath & Body Works the first time in years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a happy Christmas for everybody.
And so you have ideas. Because it's always, for me, it's like, I don't have ideas for people.
Again, I think it came back to that I actually could spend money. So I could actually fulfill things that people wanted
mm.
instead of thinking like, you want these stickers, don't you?
Yeah.
That did work for the kids I babysit, though, so lots of stickers.
Oh, I thought that was for your mom.
I mean, she might like that, too. Jimmy, we have a very exciting guest with us today. Friend of the show for a long time, Peyton Krim.
Yay!
Ho, ho, ho.
He does, so Fred's excited. Moms, he does look like a super young Santa Claus.
I'm the origin story.
I can actually see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but in the, okay, so, but you're living in present day 2017. So in this story, Santa Claus then travels back in time to the beginning.
He becomes unshackled from time.
From
he
time.
He can go wherever he
this
wants.
Is, Santa Claus is a part of True Detective season one.
Yes.
Because time is a flat circle.
He's just pounding Lone Stars, sitting in the North Pole. Waiting for everybody to come and bring him the gifts.
With cookies.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dunking his cookies into his beer.
Oh, that'd be a good time. So Peyton, you and I have known each other.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Very long time.
We're both from the Tejas.
Yeah.
And I think we met when I was probably like 16.
It might have been 6.
I mean, that's probably true. Who knows?
Our fathers were in Bible study together, and he was like, Peyton, this is young baby Jessica. She wants to be a performer, too. I go, that's sweet.
You'll never last in this town, kid.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, we've known each other a while, and you grew up to be an amazing performer. So give us a little bit background on your life.
I it's strange that I'm on a music theater podcast because my main interest really isn't theater at all.
Neither is Jimmy's.
I love the movies. I love them all.
Yep.
I'll watch all the movies.
You can go on our sister podcast, Fix a Flick.
Fix a Flick?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe, did I show up to the wrong one?
an hour too early.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
It's okay. You continue. Get some wine.
Of course.
You.
Right. Oh, a minute ago, right. I did reach for the water, and I grabbed the wine. But I wasn't disappointed. No, I'm a bass. And so when you're a young person-ish, and you're trying to do music theater and you have a low voice, you really, there's nothing you can do for a while. So I'm just kind of bouncing around from job to job, doing whatever anyone will hire me to do. And that's from being a pirate to being Santa on Disney Cruise Line 3 years ago.
How it starts. And then you get the idea for Santa Claus real.
Yeah.
And then time travel gets invented and then you go back in time.
Oh my gosh.
He's ready.
I'm going to write that story. I've thought of my first short. I'll finally direct. No, that's it. So I'm also from Dallas. Mm-hmm. I did summer internship at the Water Tower Theater.
Ooh, fancy.
Yes, we did a production of The Wiz. Had two POCs in it.
Uh-huh.
I was not one of them. I was the Scarecrow. It was very awkward. And then I went from there to do Oklahoma City University.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I almost went there.
Yeah.
I mean, real close.
Where did you go?
I went to Western Carolina.
Oh.
But it was literally because...
Everyone's favorite.
Because everyone knows it, obviously. It was the last day that I had to send in my stuff to say if I was going to OCU. And at the last minute, I completely, I tore up the papers. It was very dramatic.
Oh.
Yeah. And I wanted to go someplace where I could be a big fish.
You had a ladybird moment.
I did. Right?
And then I was there for 5 years because I did not do my senior recital in time. So I took an entire year to do something that should have only taken about 3 weeks to prepare. And then after that, I moved to New York in 2009 and have been just suffering ever since.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Yeah. For those of us who live here, we totally understand.
Every moment is agony.
Well, but you just did some really exciting stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
every time I think about it, I get a smile. It was such a happy thing. Oh, I did Brigadoon. I was in Brigadoon at New York City Center, which, mm-hmm. I mean.
What?
With just some, like, no, little known.
It was just, they threw it together. It's no big, I was just there. I was watching from the wings. I didn't do anything fancy. But no.
You sold candy?
I sold some candy. I carried a big candy basket around. And
no,
I,
you did. What?
That's my favorite person. Spoilers for the rest of the episode. I did Brigadoon back in the day, not at City Center.
Yeah, I remember.
But back in the day. And that was my favorite part, was McConaughey Square with the candy guy.
Now, all of you come to Sandy here, come over to Sandy's booth. I'm selling the sweetest candy here that ever shook loose a tooth. I eat it myself and there's no doubt it's creamy and good and thick. So laddies, I hope you'll buy me out, it's making me kind of sick.
It is a rousing number.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you meant you were actually selling candy, because I work for that company that sells candy.
The hot new guest, the new merch guy,
right?
At City Center.
And constantly people ask me, are you in the show? Are you in the show? And I'm like, I'm absolutely in the show. I'm absolutely, you know, here and working both. And then you'll see me again to talk.
I have a feeling that's going to be in the future of equity contracts.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought that it was like this weird cross-promotional synergy thing that I had never heard about.
No.
like when you can, like, at once you can get beers up on the stage, you know?
Oh, that's cool. I was the old Deuteronomy where people could go up on stage and just pick out my basket in intermission.
Oh, I thought they said pet you. They could just pet me, you know? They give me, I had so many anchovies by the end of that show.
That's super exciting, though.
Yeah. If you don't know the show, or
we're going to talk about
recent
it.
Production, there were some cool people in it.
Yeah, Kelly O'Hara.
Yeah, that
Stephanie
one,
J. Blah.
That one, her, she was pretty cool.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson.
Yeah,
who I'm just in love with. It's fine.
I mean, get in line.
Just
I don't
very
know.
Pretty. Very pretty person. And you did Mary Poppins.
I did do Mary Poppins at Paper Mill Playhouse. Yeah. I was the senior swing, I called it, where I just covered any male character over the age of 30.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you sell candy there, too?
I did not. I was definitely a stone statue, which I was the last person they should have picked to be on stage and not break. Because that happened every time.
Well, especially in that kind of show, too, I feel like the ensemble would just make each other laugh.
Well, okay. So that show was interesting because, as I just said, like, I was the only non-dancer ensemble person in the entire company. And so they all had their, like, thing that they did. And then there was me with, for some inexplicable reason, I had a mustache taped onto my actual mustache.
Love it.
I was just standing watching like a sad pet store dog. Just let me go on stage and live, everybody. And they didn't.
Oh,
so they all made each other laugh, and I was just
laughing
to myself. Stage left.
Oh, no.
It was great, though.
Well, at least it was a good experience.
Yeah. Mark Evans, Lena Shadow.
Yeah.
They're all great people.
Yeah.
You're going to see them up in lights. Actually, already. They're already there.
That's how that works.
So before we get into talking a little bit more about Brigadoon today, because that's our show for the day, you guys, we're going to go ahead and sip on this wine.
All right.
It is, I think, finally ready.
Should I not have started already?
I mean, you came.
I've developed an opinion on it.
Okay, good.
I'm ready
to go.
You came in early. You're supposed to be here for Fix It Flix. So just, like,
I guess just, like, break all the rules. It's cool. Yeah. So this wine is the... Hold on. I got to get to my notes because this actually didn't come from a store. I have to preface it with this.
What?
This was a gift from a very sweet family that I babysit for.
Oh.
And the dad collects wine. And so he and I were talking about the podcast, and he said, well, this is a really, really nice Pinot. Would you want to use it on the show? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. So I'm sorry to those of you who can't find this in a store, but you can order it online. I did make sure of that. So this is the Domaine de la Côte Bloomsfield Pinot Noir from the Santa Rita Hills Appellation, which is near Santa Barbara and the central coast of California.
It's got a cool hand-drawn topographical map on the back of it.
It does.
To help you find it if you can.
Well, and it outlines the, I think it's 60 acres of vineyards that they have. And each vineyard within the 60 acres has a specific microclimate, different elevation, different soil content, which is super cool. It's over this like 25 million year old seabed that's 7 miles from the Pacific Ocean. And it rises to an elevation of about 700 feet. So you're getting all sorts of different kinds of stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
It's organically farmed. We all know that I am all about that organic farming.
Living that organic farming life.
Sustainable. Mm. Done in 100% whole bunches. And then in the 2015 vintage, which we're drinking the 2013, but I'm assuming it's basically the same, was done with 45% new oak barrels. And I could get into the oak, but that would be really boring for everybody.
I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't put it on my notes because I figured that everyone would think it was super boring.
But you absolutely
but
know.
I did actually go to the website of the barrel maker for them.
Of course
to see,
you
like,
did.
I know. To see where they were getting their oak from. And when they say new French oak barrels, a lot of people don't actually mean that, or they'll just say new French oak instead of saying the word barrel, because that means that they can just throw wood chips into the wine and call it oaked.
Great.
Which is crazy. So you have to like be super careful. And
that's
so
what I do with my punch bowl.
Right. Just throw some wood in there. give it some of that butteriness.
Some buoyancy.
But this place actually works with a company that goes to France and harvests this like specific type of oak that you can only find in these certain forests and brings it back. And in this case, 45% of the barrels that they use have this new oak. So that's what gives it some flavor.
That's so cool. You think it's not cool, but that is so cool.
I think I'm a huge nerd because I am. So this is a great Burgundian kind of Pinot Noir, so made in the Burgundy style, which kind of means that they harvest the grapes at night, which is cool to kind of keep
gives
them.
Gives it a little mystery.
Right? You don't know what you're grabbing. And it keeps them cold so that when they press the juice, it's cold pressed, kind of like coffee. And it has, well, let's go ahead and smell it. We're kind of a light body, which is typical of Pinot Noir. But
yeah.
I get lots of red fruit.
Mm-hmm. It's bright.
Mm-hmm.
Smells like butter.
You getting those oak notes?
Are you getting those?
Yeah.
Is it new oak butter? Or is it like vegan butter?
Yeah, so cherry, some violet.
Ooh, violet.
Oh, that was a good one. That's a good sniff. What about, there's like some spiciness to it too, and some vanilla.
Mm-hmm. See that? What's funny is, to me, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, like, Pinot Noirs are a little darker or heavier than this.
They're not supposed to be. They are supposed to be pretty light, but I think here in America, sometimes we get on the Pinot Noir cab train, and we want it to be a little bit heftier.
Okay.
But in the typical style of Burgundy
from
France, where Pinot Noir was created, kind of. Or at least made famous.
Yeah.
It is going to be this lighter body.
I'm going to interrupt your usual flow of stuff here.
I love it.
So I really haven't had weird wine in about a year because I got gout almost exactly a year ago on Christmas Eve.
So we're making you sick.
And I drank like a bottle of red wine at Melissa Errico's Christmas Eve party for Finian's Rainbow. And I woke up the next morning in a house I was house-sitting for with no TV, no internet, just me and a cat. And I couldn't walk because I had just a huge, just terrible thing of gout.
Like Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, my old homie. I'm sure I'll play him at some point.
I'm sure you will. Well, now that you've had gout,
okay,
I mean.
Okay,
so that's just Benjamin Franklin. I'm getting gout as we're speaking right now. Awesome.
Benjamin Franklin is the one who invents time travel. When you
the lightning hits the kite.
The lightning hits the kite. He gets jumped forward in time to, let's say, 2025 when you decide to become Santa Claus, and that's when time travel hits, and you guys become best friends.
I see him,
friends.
And I'm like, I like your look.
I like your look. So I think it's definitely going to be that.
Okay.
And then you can explain to the children what gout is.
And then you explain to the children.
When your uric acid is not processed, children, right. Tiny diamonds of pain are collecting in your toe joints.
Okay, well, let us know if you're, like, about to pass out.
I think I'll be fine.
Great. Let's go ahead and taste. Good swishing.
What a good Foley artist,
right?
You are. We got to get him to do all our right? All our sound effects. All our sound. Oh, now you're gonna think to
it's
edit.
A reindeer.
Cut right there.
Yep. That's the reindeer. I love it. Okay, so what do we taste?
Again, it's so much brighter. So maybe when I meant heft, I meant smokiness, because I usually
okay,
a lot
yeah.
of Pinot Noirs for me are smokier.
And this one does not have a ton of smokiness in it. I do get some notes of leather in there, but not really smoke per
or
se.
Or is it just like chunks of leather that they put into the
yeah.
into the oak
yeah,
barrel?
You got it.
I will say, when I just did that comically loud swishing in my mouth, it did like taste even better. I was surprised.
Well,
it actually works.
Yeah,
that
it
was
does.
Just...
Especially with this one, it needs some time and some oxygen. And unfortunately, I didn't have a decanter with me. So
this wine is not a girl, not yet a woman. All she needs is time.
She just needs a little bit more. And honestly, this 2013 is right now is the perfect time to be opening it. It's just that it needed some oxygen to really open it up. But that's what the swishing does. Is it
yeah,
helps,
yeah.
helps
yeah.
get everything going.
I don't know what the word for this is, but now that like once it's kind of like leaving my mouth, I am getting kind of like a grape rindy taste.
On the finish.
What would that be? Yeah, on the finish. What would that? What would you call that?
The tannin. Yeah,
oh,
because
so I'm tasting the wine. Okay.
Well,
it's just wine taste.
It's just wine. The tannins are actually the skins and the seeds and that like taste that's in your mouth.
Yeah. You've got the dumbest wine person on the radio show with you today.
No, this is perfect because my mom listens to this. I think she might be the only one that listens to this. Hey, Mom. And Jamie's mom.
And hi, Mom.
And she has to be reminded multiple times of what things are. And I think that we talk about tannins basically every episode.
Every episode, yeah.
Yeah, because no one knows what it is. And it's one of those wine words that people are like, yeah, totally.
I taste the tannins. Yeah. Mm. You know what we never talk about? Tunes.
We don't talk about tunes. I mean, we talk about tunes that are in the show.
Yeah, but we don't, like, explain what a tune is.
I mean, I just assume that everyone knows that it means show tunes. Okay, friends, so we have fresh strawberry, raspberry, cranberry, cherry, all those fruit notes in there. Again, we have some forest floor that you're tasting. The leather is in there. The tannins are present. They're about medium. The acid is medium plus, and the alcohol is medium. So check it out. Bloomsfield Pinot Noir from the Domaine de la Côte from the Central Coast. It is an awesome Pinot. The three words that I would say describe it, though, are dramatic, crafted,
and gout.
gout. Or timeless, which is also gout.
What I like about it is and it's accessible.
It's super accessible, and it's also complex.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Is it accessible or complex?
I think that it is accessible in that a lot of people will drink it and not think that it's too heavy. Like, the fruitiness of it will capture a lot of people.
I like it.
That's, see?
And I'll accessible. Drink any old thing, but this is good.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's complex in that you're not just getting one flavor. Mm-hmm. You're not just getting like, oh, this tastes like stewed cherries. No, it tastes like stewed cherries and cranberries, and it has some earthiness to it and all sorts of stuff.
So it's like a movie that everybody can enjoy. Go listen to Fix a Flick.
It's a four quadrant film.
Yeah. Ooh. And then for people who maybe like understand the nuances of filmmaking or whatever, or mm-hmm. want to take a deeper look, they can understand, you know, there's deeper meanings.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
It works for both.
Which I also think is Brigadoon.
Yeah. Segue. We're all riding on a segue.
So Brigadoon is our show of the day. Premiered in 1947. Ran for a little over 500 performances, and then later for about 600 on the West End. Book and lyrics by Alan J. Lerner. Music by Frederick Lowe. Original choreography by Agnes DeMille. What are some other Frederick and Lowe shows?
Camelot. Camelot.
Can you do that part? I'm ready for that.
Oh, yeah, I gotta lose like 30 pounds.
I'm still ready for it.
Okay.
So Santa Claus is in Camelot.
Anything else? Anything else?
Why did this is what?
Okay. Oh, cool! Oh,
that, My Fair Lady.
That is.
Uh-huh. Paint Your Wagon. It's all stuff there.
Mariah.
I love that song.
Mariah.
Yeah, okay, let's turn this podcast into a late night talk show. And have him be our, musical band. You're the band now.
You're the roots.
Yeah, you're the roots. You're our roots.
Great. I'm the, what's his name? With the...
Questlove?
No. I was thinking of, I'm Ed McMahon.
Yes, that too.
I'm fine with that.
Yes.
Here's a check.
Brigadoon was kind of Frederick Lowe and Alan J. Lerner's answer to Rodgers and Hammerstein, because they had come up with these story-driven musicals that weren't just, you know, sing a song, do a dance. They actually had characters and subplots and all this stuff going on. And
they're like the DC to Richard.
Yes! Yeah!
They're
exactly.
Marvel.
Yes!
I think in every way, really.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
They are.
I'm so in love with you right now.
Well, and we didn't even talk about how you were in Finian's Rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even bring that up, which was really cool.
I name dropped
Melissa Errico.
That's right.
And Finian's Rainbow.
Yeah. Well,
and drinking a whole bottle of wine, brag.
Oh. He was also in that, too. And I think that's funny because in 1947, the three musicals that were kind of highlighted at the Tonys were Brigadoon, Finian's Rainbow, and Street Scene. What? And that was it. Like that. So.
And one of them nobody remembers anymore.
When people are like, Brigadoon was this amazing thing to come out of the late 1940s, it's just because there wasn't really anything else. Slim Pickens.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm the Foley guy.
Yep.
We'll be right back. Play us out, Ed.
There weren't even those special, there weren't even categories for musicals yet. There was, like, at the Tony Awards, there wasn't even, like, a best musical or a best featured actor in a musical or whatever.
So it was just, like, it's like The Martian winning best comedy at the Golden Globes. Like, it's all musical and plays and everything were all just, like,
well, this
shoved
was
together.
Still considered a play.
Yeah.
Like, people were still calling them plays.
Okay.
And so, really, the only time that you had musicals being, highlighted were in best score, best choreography, and that's basically
did a play
it.
Ever win best choreography? Like, did Odd Couple, like, that sounds...
I mean, if any play...
Get out of my bed. What are you doing? Read the note.
Why isn't has that been a musical yet? It needs to be a musical. Because you know what also we need? We need more men-led musicals.
Well,
we need more musicals for white men to star in. More vehicles for
right.
us.
Right. The only play that I can think of that could win best choreography in my mind would be The Play Goes Wrong, or The Play That Goes Wrong.
Okay.
That is choreography.
Yeah, that definitely.
Also starring good friend Mark Evans. Now go see it on Broadway.
Yay, Mark Evans. Come on the podcast.
We'll talk about Play Goes Wrong.
Right? We'll talk about anything.
And Santa Claus is with us.
Okay, so give us, I mean, friends, if you don't know Brigadoon, good news. There's a movie. You can go watch it.
But it's maybe not as good. Don't.
It's not as good.
Yeah.
It stars Sid Charisse and Gene Kelly.
This is me, Gene Kelly, singing. Did the whole score to bring a doom.
That is pretty much exactly what he sounds like. but it will help you get acquainted with the story, so go check it out. Basically, well, Peyton, you were in it for a really long time. Give us the...
For 14 whole days. there was...
Longer than I was.
Okay, so... You've got Tommy and Jeff, two New York guys. Well, one's from New Jersey, and they're vacationing in Scotland on a hunting trip. And what do they see in the distance but a town with some tunes coming out of it?
And a guy selling candy.
A guy selling candy. He looks like Santa, standing adjacent to Kelly O'Hara. And they go in, and they are like, "Why is everyone dressed like they're in a Ren Fair? What's happening?" And they find out that, due to a pact with God, this Scottish village appears once a day every 100 years in order to keep all of the villagers safe. And only if someone were to leave, someone from the town were to leave, everyone there would just fade into the mist. And the only way an outsider can stay there is if there's someone they truly love living there. And so I'll let you imagine what happens there. I'll spoil it for you. People dance around swords and someone falls off a rock. That's what happens.
But then you find out that he was actually killed.
What?
Yeah, then Jeff trips him?
No. Jeff, like, shoots a warning shot and then Harry turns around and he's like, "What?" And then he loses his footing and falls.
Oh, in ours it was a little different. We had murder.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a dark take.
It was everything about it don't. Was a little bit dark.
And then it turned into Murder on the Orient Express, but murder on a town that only shows up every 100 years.
It got real complicated.
Yeah.
But all in all, everyone ends up happy at the end.
And I really only knew this is the show that What a Day This Has Been. It's almost like being in love. That's the song. It's almost like being in love. This is the show that the song's from. Only knew that, and I found out that every other song in the show is incredibly charming, and when you hear it with a 40-piece orchestra, it's like the most gorgeous thing you've ever heard.
Like a bell that is ringing for me. I would swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love.
So go find a 40-piece orchestra and go have a listen to Brigadoon today, moms.
Go ahead out there, moms. It's a great show. Gorgeous music.
It's a beautiful show, yeah.
The dances are really fun. You have full-scale ballets going on, and especially in your production, you had actual, like, ballet dancers.
We had a 16-person dance ensemble on top of the 12-person vocal ensemble, and so all the dancers just were just, like, in it to win it. Some of them were in Cats. Some of them were in Phantom right now.
Yeah.
We had Mr. Robert Fairchild, who knows what he's doing.
A little bit. That hack.
Man. And I'm not I changed my major in college so I wouldn't have to take dance classes. And because I just don't like enjoy it at all. And I was just transfixed by.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Oh.
Pretty dancing. And the fact that it really is so seamlessly integrated, and that was one of Agnes DeMille's big things about the show, was no longer are we going to live in this world of you have songs and you have dances. The dances are going to be informed by what's going on in the story. The dances are going to further the plot. Mm-hmm. We're still going to be our same characters while we dance. We aren't just going to become a pretty ballerina and show off some tricks. And that was really, really big for the time. So it's really cool that it's kind of shaped the way that musical theater evolved.
Insane. We think about that, and we just think like that's normal. That's how it is. That's sort of the precedent. But it is always so interesting to find that there is somebody who has to come up with that idea first, and there's somebody who has to have that. I was just recently reading a graphic novel by Harvey Kurtzman, and this was an adaptation of Christmas Carol. And he wanted to do it in the 60s at a time when, like, the idea of a graphic novel was not a thing. But nowadays, it's commonplace. Mm-hmm. So I definitely thought, when you were talking about that, thought of those two parallels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what do we think the next two art forms to be combined are going to be?
Oh, man. I mean, I think that we've already seen it with these live musicals on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, and I think that they're still figuring it out.
Well, here's, I'm going to jump on your train and go live musicals, VR experience. So you are interactive.
Are you a VR fan?
I know. I mean, I'm a VR fan. I just haven't been introduced to it.
Oh man.
It was terrifying. I did VR once.
Like, the only reason I want to book a production contract at some point in my life is so I can just buy VR gear.
Mom, VR is virtual reality, by the way, because I know my mom won't know that.
My mom knows because I've made her do it several times.
it scares me. I get very off balance.
Well, you got to do the room scale stuff where they set up the cameras and then it tracks you as you move around in the space. So it's not disorienting at all. It's like you're actually there. That's why.
Oh, you're not in that like treadmill thing?
No. You can. It's like we're in about like a 15-by-10-foot room. It lets you walk around in the whole space and you can like look up and down underneath stuff. You're not. Your brain is completely fooled into that you're in the space. So you don't get disoriented.
Yeah. Whoa. That's very cool. And
gosh, this is like how every date I go on. We're over wine, and I'm like, so have you heard about VR?
Well, you know what? If this was a date, I would ask for a second. I am enamored.
So I have some. So basically, most of the reviews for Brigadoon at the time in 1947 were amazing. They all loved it. But I do have some really funny ones that are kind of bad that I do want to share.
Yeah.
this was my favorite. This is John Chapman of the Daily News. He thought that he really enjoyed the dances, but he thought that there were too many of them.
Is this the original production we're talking about?
Yes, the original.
And not yours.
Not
he was
yours.
Only raised.
And he thought that the dances kind of interrupted the story. So he says, just when I get pleasantly steamed up about the love story of Mr. Brooks and Miss Bell, I don't want to be cooled off by watching a herd of gazelles from Chorus Equity running around.
Well. He gets right to it, doesn't
right?
he?
No.
I'm just getting real hot and steamed, and then these these beautiful dancers with their dancing.
Like
just
a cold shower.
And then Lewis Kronenberger of some newspaper disliked the ending, and he called it an outright blunder done in the corniest Broadway fashion, which it kind of is.
Of course.
Well, I think, let me tell you what happened. So we're going to talk about the ending. So Harry Beaton dies, and there's like a big funeral sequence, and then he's like, I don't know if this is real. This is the realest thing I've ever experienced. But I can't leave my old life behind back in New York, because he would have to stay there forever. And so he leaves.
So Tommy and Jeff go home.
Tommy and Jeff go back to New York. I've actually forgotten the main girl's name. Mm. Oh my gosh.
Fiona?
Fiona, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, and so he's in New York. It's been like a month. And he's like, oh, Fiona. I do love her.
And so James he gets on sitting over there like, what about me? We're engaged.
And so he just gets on a plane and goes back to Scotland. And his love for Fiona wakes the town up. The town school teacher has a great line where he's like, you woke us up, Tommy. And then they
and
go away.
It.
And that's it. Now, we decided what would be a better ending. We actually, we developed a sequel for the show.
Perfect.
Where it's Brigadoon 2, Brigatoon. And it's seven scenes. Mm-hmm. This is, the Brigadoon takes place on the second day of this miracle happening. So, like, it's like a Tuesday to them. This is...
Okay, yeah, because I have some
only
technical...
Only 200 years have passed.
Right, I have some technical questions. Yeah. So they go to sleep and
it's
then they
like
wake
another
up.
Another day.
It's just another
it's just
day.
Everywhere outside has advanced 100 years.
Right. Okay.
But it all the miracle occurred in 1743, and the play takes place in 1943. Mm-hmm. So it's been exactly 200 years. But I thought for the next like 5 days of the week, what would happen? The next day they wake up and. 2043, and they're like, who is this man? It was Donald Trump who was president. What? And then they wake up again in 2143, and then like a plague has wiped out humanity. And they're like, wait, what? And then in 2243, like a giant like Skynet bot comes, and then we can reprise the number Come to Me, Bend to Me with the robot saying, come to me, bend to me, as he just mows the entire village down and the curtain drops.
Love this.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't really helpful. That pact with God went sour real fast.
Yeah.
Well, and Tommy would be of no help anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he doesn't know anything about 2043
right.
or 21. Yeah. You know, I have a hard time trying to get my grandmother to Skype with me. So.
Yeah.
Yep. That would be difficult.
More technical questions. Okay, so.
I thought of all of them, so.
What? So, I didn't even know the thing, like, somebody can't replace or something.
Well,
so
that's the whole, what
somebody,
is the problem?
So, if somebody originally, someone who's, like, a member of the town leaves.
Okay,
like Harry Beaton.
Harry Beaton tries to leave, and if you're not in bed, this is a direct line, if you're not in bed by midnight,
That's a curfew. That's
yeah.
a lot of curfew. That
if you're
is.
Not in bed by midnight, then everyone just kind of.
Okay, you don't like leave them behind, and then they come back the next day. It's they sort of like evaporate into.
Yeah,
dust.
They just will like go. They will fade away, and then
they're
oblivion.
Dead.
And then they're not. Yeah, they're not. Okay, they're dead.
They're dead.
Yeah.
So, which is they should have thought their pact with God through more.
Right.
Definitely.
But God was like. Yeah, sure. Okay.
I got the better of this deal. Well, and that's really the character of Harry is there as the what is the problem character. We would always say that in grad school. Like, you have to, when you come out of a show, you should be able to say, what was the problem? And you can identify, like, the conflict or the character that was.
And he
really
was, like,
that.
His whole thing was, you know, he wanted to see the outside world. He wanted to go to college. He was curious. We talked about how, the time it was written, this was directly after World War II. Mm-hmm. And you have two, are they both Jewish? One's Jewish.
I believe they're both Jewish.
But it was definitely like a parable about
right.
the Holocaust and everything, and about how the need for community and needing to be safe and mm-hmm. keeping your loved ones close. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's always, as we're learning now, there's people that are still curious about what if that other side really wasn't so bad? What if, mm-hmm. you know, We want to be alternative rightly about this, you know, and see what it's like out there. And there's always someone that wants to just, as Patton Oswalt says, put sour cream in the sauna.
Yep. Yep.
I am going to marry this man.
We'll get in line.
Not Patton Oswalt, you, buddy. This date is going so well for me.
Well, and I think that it's also a story of, I mean, that belief in true love. And I think that you have the first, I'm going to call them the first couple of Tommy and Fiona with the like classic ingenue, leading man, love, true love. And then you have the second couple of Jeff and, what's her name? Stephanie J. Block's character.
Yeah,
her.
Molly Malloy.
Meg.
Oh,
yep. Meg Rocky. Who look at love completely differently. And the two different outlooks on it. That like
lust. It's just lust.
I mean, in Meg's case, yes. Very, very true. But I think that it's a fairy tale.
And then there's the third character. Third duo. Of
the Candyman.
The Candyman. The
Candyman and all of the town's girls that come up and want his candy.
Oh.
But I couldn't give it to them because it was plastic.
Bonnie Jean and...
Yes.
And what's his face? Charlie.
Charlie and Bonnie Jean.
I know this because I played Bonnie Jean. Oh. And that's the one word that I had to say in an Irish brogue was Charlie. All I had to say. Thank God.
For soon across the green, I'll go home with Bonnie Jean.
Go home with Bonnie Jean. Go home.
I'll go home with Bonnie Jean.
Are we going to talk about Andrew Lloyd Webber and the pilfering of Come to Me, Bend to Me?
Oh, well,
what?
I wasn't going to get into it, but we can.
Literally all I know.
Guys, we're on a long, I don't know if you guys remember, but we're in a long-standing fight with Andrew Lloyd Webber. So, like, let's.
I was not aware. So Come to Me, Bend to Me is very, very similar to. Now all I can
nighttime,
hear is,
bright time, blah 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 blah. I don't know this.
Nighttime, bright time. Nighttime,
bright time. I should be a songwriter.
Come to me, bend to me, kiss me good day, darling, my darling. 'Tis all I can say. Just come to me, bend to me. Kiss me good day, give me your lips, and don't take them away.
Yep. Very, very similar.
And that's all we're going to talk about, because that's what they're very
what
similar.
It is. Well, I mean, but that's also like,
But that's like
the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Every song sounds like the same song.
And every song is a little bit stolen from something else.
Let's not shoot our careers in the foot here by...
This is true. I will just pick
the one
that things are very similar, though there are only a limited amount of ways to put notes together.
Are we gonna?
There's only 12 notes.
Here's what just happened. Are we going to talk about how somebody stole something? We shouldn't talk about how somebody stole something.
I mean,
that's what you.
He also listens to our podcast, so he might
Webber.
Write in, get real upset.
He totes.
Nobody
steals anything. People are just influenced by. All right.
No, that one was a little. there. So Peyton, because you are on the show today, I picked a game that I thought would be really fun.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Okay. Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Oh god.
That was the early morning version.
Early morning. Early morning songs, early morning wine.
So because you love movies so much.
I do.
Today's game is MGM Musical Trivia!
Yeah. That was the MGM
line. Best Questlove Ed McMahon ever.
Okay, so basically, now with this, this is going to be a little bit different because I would like you to wait until I finish the question for you to buzz in.
Okay.
And your buzz can be a buzz, it can be a ding, it can be a woohoo, I don't care.
All right.
Whatever it is. It can be a hand as long as you have a sound to accompany it. Okay, here we go. Question number one. This musical came out originally in 1930, revamped in 1947, and is an adaptation of a popular stage production about a group of college students who are mad about football, dancing, and sneaking off into dark corners to make out. Anyone? Anyone?
Beep, beep.
Yeah.
What is Footloose? The 1930 version.
The 1930 version of Footloose. Version of Footloose. No.
College kids
making out.
Making out.
I found out that back in the day it was called sparking.
No, it was not.
It was.
You're making things up.
I'm not.
Sparking?
Yeah.
Because you
kind of like snogging.
No, you're like making sparks.
Ooh, making sparks.
Ooh.
All I can think of is On the Town, and that's not it.
It is Good News.
Good News. Good News.
Okay, that was a hard one to start out. They get a little
easier. Yeah,
I know. They get a little easier, and then they get.
But there
hard.
Were two of them. They it was made, and then they remade it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were both within like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, but they decided that it needed a revamp.
Okay.
An adaptation of L. Frank Baum's fantasy novel, A Pigtailed Naive Girl from Kansas, inspires the downtrodden Didzians of an enchanted kingdom to confront a mysterious mystic.
Bing. The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Okay. Come on.
You
went from the hardest thing possible.
I told you
I was like,
here.
Surely this is a trick question.
Okay, here we go.
She said L. Frank Baum. Of course it was.
Garland plays the second oldest daughter of a turn-of-a-century middle-class Missouri family that is simultaneously looking forward to the 1904 World's Fair and dreading their father's plans to move the clan to New York City.
Bing, bing. Bing. That movie where she goes clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
Yep.
Bang, bang, bang. With the
what movie is it?
You know the title. Don't.
Meet me in St. Louis.
There you go. It also features the song "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas."
Oh yeah.
Which is perfect for.
I had to sing the whole first line of that so I could remember what the name of it is.
So that was me too.
I love the Charlie song, though. It's
a good one. Again, you're giving it.
Okay, here we go. In 1945, MGM paired Frank Sinatra with its own hard-to-pigeonhole actor-dancer, Gene Kelly, in Anchors Away, a musical about two sailors on shore living it up in Hollywood. It didn't live up to expectations, so they remade it in 1949 as an adaptation of...
Ding on the... Town.
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, so it was a movie originally called Anchors Away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then On the Town was on Broadway.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know what we're going to do?
We need a sailor movie.
We're just going to scrap Anchors Away.
Hey.
Redo it as On the Town.
Anchors Away is so good. It has the dance with Jerry Mouse.
Yeah, it does.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's also like a pseudo sequel to... On the Town?
Called The Animatrix.
That's the side. You really get to understand these characters, the backstories through The Animatrix. It's called It's Always Sunny. And,
In Philadelphia?
Yeah, right? It was in the 50s. It was about like the time of the movie musical was sort of starting to wane. So this was about three soldiers who, came home after the war, and then they made a pact that 10 years from today, they would, you know, meet up. And they finally do that, but they find out that their lives have gone in crazy different directions. It's
interesting.
It's very good, but it's also, like, kind of pretty dark.
I just pet their cat on the tail. She was sleeping, and she gave me a look that no female's ever given me before in my life.
Well, it's also a male cat, so that could be part of it.
I feel like a tiger is literally about to scrap my head off. Just close your eyes. Go back to sleep.
Pat is joining us in the studio today.
Okay.
went back to sleep. Okay, here we go. So right now we're at Peyton 3, Jimmy 1.
3? Oh.
In 1951, this movie won the Best Picture Oscar. Gene Kelly teamed up with director Minnelli, veteran producer Arthur Freed, and screenwriter Alan J. Lerner, plus the music of George and Ira Gershwin, to turn a fairly thin love story into something romantic, ambitious, culminating in a lengthy ballet sequence.
It is called Bing. Ding, bing, ding, 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 ding. It's called...
I think Jimmy dinged first.
Okay.
An American in Paris. Give me this!
We have to have an exciting...
The Broadway production was staged by Brigadoon director Christopher Wheeldon. Drink.
Drink to
drink,
that.
Drink.
Okay, here we go. This movie applies the talents of Kelly, Donen, Breed, Comden, and Green to a different kind of backstage musical, telling the story of what happened to Hollywood when sound was introduced into motion pictures.
Ding.
Peyton.
Sing in the Rain.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
That moment of like,
That's what happens every time I open my mouth on stage, too. I'm like, what am I saying?
I have a line, and that it goes like this.
Do you? That happened to me once during the Skimbleshanks number. There was Skimbleshanks is a patter song for moms, and so it just like goes and goes and goes, and I blanked in my head. And it was just all muscle memory that got me through that song. Because if you screw up, you're derailed. You can't, like, come back onto it. So it was all muscle memory, thank goodness.
That's my way.
I never not did that song without, like, going over it once beforehand.
I always... So in Brigadoon, actually, there... were a couple things that I had to... I could never forget my line because I could only say certain words in my Irish accent.
Uh-huh.
And so every time before I went on stage, I would look over my lines. I was also... This is a side note. While I was doing Brigadoon, I was also studying for the GRE so I could get into grad school. And
oh, my
so
goodness.
Because I don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, halfway.
You're a real...
If I'm going to do something, I go big.
You're
going
to do it.
So I, during Act 1, because that was the harder of my acts, I would study math.
What?
And so I would do math whenever I wasn't on stage. And then our guy who played the bagpipe, so a bagpiper or bagpipist, I don't know what you call him, was a math teacher. And so during intermission, he would come backstage and, like, grade my work.
Whoa.
Like, my tests. And then during Act 2, I would work on verbal.
That's insane.
It was crazy. But I would always have to, like, look at my script before I went on stage so that I could say the right words in the right accent.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember that Charlie Brown cartoon where, not Lucy, Sally. Sally has a Christmas, she's in the Christmas pageant, and she only has one line. And she's a Christmas angel or something. And she just has to say, Merry Christmas. And she is practicing for weeks. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Just Merry Christmas. Just like different iterations and tones. She is going to get this down pat. It comes to be the time of the show. She comes on stage. She pauses and she goes, Happy Easter! And freaks out.
Welcome to my life.
That's my worst nightmare. That's what I think about constantly.
I did a Ring of Fire last summer at Peach State Summer Theater
in Valdosta,
Peach State. Georgia.
I worked in Valdosta for 2 summers.
Wow.
At Wild Adventures Theme Park.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great people there. All super nice. Yeah. But we were doing a production of Ring of Fire. And the way Ring of Fire is done a lot is they don't really do what the script says. It's just like people saying...
Yeah.
Facts about Johnny, and we'll sing a song. So it opened with like special on each person, mm-hmm. like, and they would all say, "I'm Johnny Cash, I'm Johnny Cash, I'm Johnny Cash, I'm Johnny Cash," mm-hmm. and then it was going to end on me, and I would say, "I'm Johnny Cash, I was born X Y Z, blah 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 blah," and it hit me on the first show, and that's exactly what I said. I said, "I'm Johnny Cash." And like everyone in the show was having to look at me as this was happening, and
yeah.
I'm just like slowly watching my life crumble in real time. I could see everyone's shoulders just kind of shaking up and down. As a, and then they had to follow.
Let's sing Ring of Fire.
You're ready. You're ready for the next one.
Sing anything. I don't care. Just sing the trolley song. I don't care. Just go. Sing a song.
Okay, we have three more questions. So we have Peyton, you're at 4, and Jimmy, you're at 2.
All right. All right.
At 1, so.
At 2.
Here we go. In 1951, this movie stars Fred Astaire, and he plays a successful, fastidious performer flummoxed by romantic feelings, which have him literally dancing on the ceiling.
Ding. The Boyfriend.
Nope.
Ding. Something with Ginger Rogers.
Nope.
Ding.
Wait,
we don't know.
Frank Sinatra?
Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire.
Oh, but I don't think it has Ginger Rogers on it.
See, I avoid movies with dancing.
Yeah. The Royal Wedding.
Oh,
but it has that very famous scene with him
dancing on the
dancing
ceiling.
On the ceiling.
Yeah. They built that gimbal.
They built the thing, the circular room. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, which they then used into an NSYNC video.
Really?
Well, I mean, the same concept.
The same concept.
They
I
had,
was
like
they
turned...
used the original one.
Yeah.
That's the like one of the behind the scenes things that's really cool to watch is that. Like watching him dancing, but the camera is way out, and so you can see the whole room. It's really neat. 1958, Leslie Caron plays a courtesan in training who loves hearing the worldly Louis Jordan wax cynical about romance.
Okay. Who?
What?
Who's in it?
Leslie Caron. I'll give you another hint. It is another Lerner and Lowe show.
Read the question.
Yeah. 1958, okay. In this movie, Leslie Caron plays a courtesan in training who loves hearing the worldly, I think it's Louis, maybe Jordan, wax cynical about romance.
Ding.
Yeah.
Gigi.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, last one. Here we go.
Oh, gosh.
MGM used Lena Horne sparingly, usually only in cameo roles, though she played a big part in this 1943 movie. Minnelli, it was his directorial debut for MGM, and the rare studio film with an all-black cast. It's a good movie, too, with Eddie Rochester Anderson playing a hopeless sinner who tries to reform his wife, Ethel Waters, but is tempted by drink, gambling, and Horne's wiles.
Ding. Porgy and Bess.
Nope. This is a hard one. This is a hard one.
I know what it, I know what it is.
Do you?
I do.
Well, then say it.
No, you say it.
I don't know.
You don't know? All right. Ain't Misbehaving.
Nope.
Ah!
I guess you didn't know it.
I guess I didn't know it.
Anyone? Anyone?
Cabin in the Sky?
Yeah!
Yeah!
That's it!
I got there. I got there.
Find my cabin in the sky.
What is he doing? We're doing a Johnny Cash musical. That gout really got to him.
Listen, you don't know the half of it.
I don't.
Oh, I'm sure. That was our game for today.
Woo!
Awesome job, Peyton. I still think you won.
I think, yeah.
We tied.
Well, there should have been 9 questions.
But one of them we didn't, neither of us answered.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, tie. We'll go with that.
Wonderful.
Good job.
I guess we'll have to drink more.
Guys, always drink more.
Guys, we are just like Superman and the Flash having a race.
I mean, always.
Always. I would love a morning top off.
Thanks. That's perfect.
Glug, 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 glug. I'm doing some Foley work now.
I was going to pull up our reviews so that we can talk about our review challenge.
Yes!
Jimmy, take it away.
Guys. So...
I'm giving you another chance.
What?
I'm giving you another chance to redeem yourself on the review challenge.
I'm going
to
be terrible on this.
Is this
friends
where you
and moms.
Oh,
we do. We do review. So until the end of the year. Every review, especially those 5-star ones that we get on iTunes, we are going to match a dollar, and then we are going to donate all that money to relief efforts for the hurricanes and for the Las Vegas shootings. For everybody who has already done, thank you so much. Keep up doing the reviewing for us. You guys still have a little bit of time until the end of the year. And then what we do now always is we take one of those reviews and we're going to pair a wine with it.
With your username.
With your username.
Oh.
Right?
That's not what I thought the review challenge was going to be.
What did you think it was going to be?
Jessica was going to read like a snippet of a review and then Jimmy would have to guess what the show was.
Oh, that's a good game.
That is a good game.
That's going to be
You're welcome.
On our next episode. That's a
Again,
good game episode.
This has become an ongoing thing where the guests are much better at my job than I am. No, it's just, it feels like you are just like
I'm
auditioning
just
new co-hosts.
Yeah.
Oh, you're Kelly, and you're just rotating host.
So this week's review comes from DD Ivory, and it just says, "Love it so much." Well, we love you, DD Ivory.
DD Ivory.
So I am going to suggest for you, there's a great Sauvignon Blanc that's called the Sandy Cove Sauvignon Blanc, and it's one of my favorites. It's an organic wine from, where's it from? New Zealand. And it is awesome, super fruity, super crisp. So if you are like not a day like today where it's super cold and crummy out, but on a hot summer day, throw that in the fridge, take it out, have a Ooh. Really nice, crisp, cold white wine.
Are there like bits of ivory in it?
You know, I was trying to think of something like from the Ivory Coast, because I know that there are wines from the Ivory Coast, but I couldn't think of one off the top of my head.
That sounds lovely, though.
But it's really, really nice. So, DD Ivory, thanks so much for the review, and enjoy the wine.
Thanks, DD.
Thanks, DD.
Peyton, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
Thank you
today.
So much.
Guys, it's been a pleasure.
This has been really thank fun. Goodness. Where can people find you on social media?
Okay. On Twitter, I am The Real Peyton C, P-E-Y-T-O-N. Instagram, it's The Busey, as in Gary Busey, my favorite actor of all time. It's The _ Busey. I'm going to do a shameless pitch here. I'm also a headshot photographer and also portrait photographer. That's my thing that I really like to do. And you can go to Peyton Grimm Photography.
And they're awesome shots, everybody. They're super cool. So if you're an actor and you need new headshots,
just name drop Tans and Tunes and I'll knock a little bit off there.
Ooh, there you go. And also, guys, if you want to send him your Christmas list, just send it to Peyton, care of the North Pole. He will get your letters.
You've all been very naughty.
That feels like it's a good way. Yeah.
It was.
The state is going wonderfully.
Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and all the things at JMHumphrey1. And then be sure to follow the show at Tannins and Tunes on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Make sure to subscribe, leave your review, rate us. It really does help us bump up in the charts for iTunes and Apple and stuff like that. So make sure you do that. And then if you want your, don't forget about the newsletter. I send out a recap of every episode, on the release date that has the wines, the show that we've talked about, links to our guests' social media, and then usually some fun videos of the show or our guests. Or
really take advantage of it. It's a great, great resource.
It's really fun. It is super nerdy. So come
also,
be a nerd with me.
Also, if you guys want to see Brigadoon again, you might need to make a stink on social media.
Yeah.
Oh. Who knows what might be happening?
Get it to that Broadway HD.
Or something else, I think is what he's talking about.
No comment. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Peyton.
Thank you again, yes.
It's great, guys. It was great. And thank you, little cat friend, for not eating me.
Abel was very good this time. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. All
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to all of our guests. Thanks so much.
Merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year.
morning wine. We're gonna have some morning wine.
Are we live? Is this happening now?
Yeah, this is live. We're broadcasting 30,000 strong.
Hello, everybody.
Thank God it's not live, because there are a lot of things I edit out on myself.
Right.
All those ums.
I do. Oh, my goodness.
You go through and you just edit out every single um.
I mean, I wish I was that talented.
That
way I know where to cut it.